Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
All right, 6 o'clock in New York City. Boomer and Geo. Without the G, who's on vacation, he will be back on Monday, joined by the incredibly handsome Boomer Esiason. A Friday, it's a party Friday. You could say that, take you into the weekend. Why? Because the Yankees are doing what the Yankees are going to do every single night. They're going to win, especially, God, when they play the Orioles, as they went again last night. Not easy. They needed Aaron Judge to bail them out in the ninth inning, but he does so with a moonshot of a home run. Yankees on their way to going 50-10 this season. As for the Mets,
yeah, the Mets. Edwin Diaz, the Mets.
Steven Matz,
the Mets.
They lose again, a game that opportunity after opportunity, they don't take advantage. They fall, lose both to the Red Sox at home. They'll get another shot tonight as they head to Atlanta to try and right the ship. The NBA restarted last night in Orlando. Hockey back tomorrow. We got lots going on, including saying good morning to that handsome fella somewhere on Long Island. His name is Boomer Esiason. Sir, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Jerry. I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well, but I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed because my New York Mets last night showed again why this is a frustrating team. You know, the opportunities are there late in games for guys to come through. And much like Aaron Judge came through, much like the great David Wright, young in his career, would always come through. It seemed like Derek Jeter would always come through. You know, when the game is on his bat and he's in the batter's box, Cespedes, Cano, Conforto just aren't coming through. They're just not. And then the last two games have been really, really frustrating because, you know, the Boston pitching staff isn't that good. And obviously neither is the Mets. For that matter, you know, and Steven Matz, once again, just an oh, by the way, random looking like a fifth starter outing when he's supposed to be the second starter in the rotation, and just listless. The team looked listless, and maybe it's getting to them that there's no fans in the stands. And then, of course, you know, Edwin Diaz comes in, throws 35 pitches, gets one out, and then everybody wakes up this morning thinking, you got to get rid of this guy. You got to get rid of this guy. This guy is just awful. And it's not like he's not trying. I know he is. I know he's trying his damnedest. But, you know, they don't trust him. And they only use him when they have to use him now. And every time, well, this is the second time they've used him, he was just awful again last night. So really, really disappointed in the Mets' last two losses because of the opportunities that they had offensively and they were unable to capitalize. Especially if you want to be a clutch guy, if you want to be that guy that people, you know, look up to like we did for David Wright when he was younger and all the times he came through, or Derek Jeter, or last night Aaron Judge, DJ LeMahieu late in the game coming through with a key hit. Even if Jay Happ is not going to be that great, they are just so good offensively, especially against Baltimore, that, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're winning. And the Mets should have taken four games from the Red Sox. They should have taken four games. It should have been a sweep. But they look listless. They look tired. They look, you know, just out of sorts late in games offensively. And it's really, really, really frustrating. Now, on the other side of things, the NBA had two great games last night. Two great games last night. And two games that came down to the wire. And, you know, stars played significant roles and big games, good games. Rudy Gobert starts the season with scoring the first 2 points and then ends their game by winning, by scoring the last 2 points. So kind of a little bit of an interesting take on that, since he was the first player that came down with COVID-19 and shut down every sport known to mankind at that point in time. And then if the basketball is going to look that good and it's going to be that competitive, I can only hope that the hockey – does the same thing starting tomorrow. Because I think personally, even though it wasn't the greatest hockey, simply because the players have been off for so long, I think the fresh legs, the healthiness of a lot of the key players that are back from injury are going to make hockey great. So I think we're going to get great hockey playoffs. It looks like basketball's off to a great start. The Yankees are off to a great start. The Mets not so much. Edwin Diaz not so much. And certainly Michael Conforto not so much.
No, and boy, there was a lot there that you just went through. We'll start with where you started, and that's with the Mets. You are dead on. Steven Matz was average at best last night. You'll see 3 runs, 5 1/3. Average, you know, not what you need him to be. You need him at this point in his career to be better, and he wasn't. Opportunities knocking, and they don't come through. Seventh inning, eighth inning. I mean, you're talking about guys in scoring position with less than two outs, unable to get the hit, unable to drive a guy in from third, strikeouts in bad spots. They right now, when you look at them, on paper, you got to do it on the field. On paper, you think that they would score a bunch of runs every night, and it's feast or famine. And right now, it's not the mark of a good team. They don't play good defense. Their pitching after Jacob deGrom is average at best, and I think that's being kind. Their bullpen in spots is okay. Other nights, horribly disappointing. I point to Seth Lugo, really good one night, and then was obviously not so good the next night. Edwin Diaz is a disaster just waiting to happen, and I don't know what you do with him. You're not going to cut him. I don't know what you do with him because you're not using him to close the games. That's become apparent since Saturday, at least not right now. You put him in a spot to hold the game at 3-2 last night. He can't find the plate. Boomer, he gets one out. He walks two guys, hits a guy, gives up. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
now, you want to tell me a lot of them aren't hard hit balls? All right, fine. At least the base hit. But you can't be hitting guys. You can't be loading the bases. I know he's got swing and miss stuff, but if you're nowhere near the plate, what good is it?
Yeah, well,
frustrating.
I think just like Jay Happ last night, he hasn't pitched in a while. And neither has Diaz. And I do think there's something about getting into a rhythm and expecting a certain role. And when that role doesn't happen for a closer type, then all of a sudden he's starting to think that the people around him don't believe in him, which I can understand.
They can't.
Why. And it's for Jay Happ too. He was another one. You know, he hasn't pitched in a long time, and he's not in any sort of rhythm or, you know, kind of, you try to get on a roll, you try to get things together, and he looked like he was rusty last night too. The pitcher for the Orioles, the start of the game with the hit and the batters and
John
everything
Means,
else.
Yeah.
Oh my God! And you know, you just got to hope for guys like what's his name, Gleyber Torres isn't hurt too bad. Even Pete Alonso got hit last night, but he had that pad on his wrist, so he was lucky to have that pad on his wrist. The last thing you want is somebody like that going down in a stupid way and missing games. So. I don't know. It's frustrating for the Mets because offensively they should be better. They should be more clutch, and they're not clutch, and that really is an issue. If Michael Conforto wants to make the big money and wants to be a big time player, then when the game is on the line, you got to come up and you got to make it happen. You know, that's kind of, and it doesn't always mean hit a home run. I mean, DJ LeMahieu kept the ninth inning going last night by just singling. You know, do that. Get to your next best hitter. And when you get to your next best hitter and the guy hits a bomb, you win the game. You feel like you just completed an assist in a basketball game, or you feel like you just threw a touchdown pass in a football game, or you made that perfect pass from the point to the low slot, and all of a sudden, the puck's in the back of the net. That's how you feel if you're DJ LeMahieu, and that's the way you have to be. And I don't know what to tell you. It's got to be really frustrating for Conforto. It's got to be frustrating for Cespedes. I know he's hit a couple home runs, but still, you know, every time it seems like I turn on the TV and I'm getting ready to watch Cespedes late in the game, he's striking out. Now, last night he got a walk, which was key and was unselfish and loads the bases. But to me, they just cannot come through late in these games. And you know, Boston is not a good team. Offensively, they're fine, but their pitching staff is a mess. And the fact that you lost at home with Jacob deGrom and Steven Matz starting games,
yeah,
is a bad thing. It's just not, you have to win those games when your first and your second pitcher are on your mound in your building. And they lost those games for different reasons, of course, but really the big glaring thing for me was the lack of clutch hitting late in the game. And that happened in both instances here against the Red Sox, and that is something that's got to stop. If the polar bear and the squirrel and everybody else, you know, wants to start being, you know, these players that are going to be coming through and are going to be great to root for, you can't continue to have games like this. And now they go on the road, and now they're going to go back and play Atlanta.
And it was more than that, just that eighth inning, the seventh inning too. You get the leadoff base hit. You got a guy in second base with nobody out. You got Ramos coming up. You got Nimmo coming up. You got to figure out a way to get that game even. They don't do it.
And the only team that do that are the teams against the Mets, and they do it in extra innings.
You know who does
it? Man on second base. That guy is scoring.
Good teams do it. That's who does it. Good teams do it.
Yeah.
That's who does it. And Rick Porcello tonight, he was abysmal his first time out. Need better tonight as they go to Atlanta because, you know, where they are, it's early, but early is late when you're only playing a 60-game season. So better be careful. Better right this ship. And they need better from, aside from Jacob deGrom, they need better from their starting pitching and they need better from their lineup. Needs more consistency. I shouldn't say better because they've had a couple of games here where they have come out and really
clutch.
Hit the ball. They need consistency is what they need. And they need clutch, absolutely.
It's one thing if you're winning game 7-1. It's another thing if you're, you know, the game is tight and there's four different times where in the last two games you've come up late in the game and guys have given you a chance to win the baseball game, and your best players are not coming up in the clutch. The other night it was Conforto, Cespedes, and Cano. Last night it was Conforto again.
Yep.
So it's, you know, you're batting in a lineup for a reason. Your spot in the lineup is there for a reason, and you're expected to come through in the clutch. That's all there is to it. And I understand that it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to go your way. But the last two nights, and by the way they play the field, still,
they're sloppy.
It's a sloppy, I don't know, I can't, you know, they got guys that are really good baseball players, but they're not great baseball players at their respective positions.
Fair. And now on the other side of town, you look at the Yankees, you want to talk clutch? I mean, are you kidding last night? And now they get out to a 5-0 lead, they find themselves down after a long rain delay. And Aaron Judge just hits the tar out of the ball in the ninth inning, which is just another way. Again, I know we joke about it, and I say 50-10. But my God, Boomer, I look at this lineup. I mean, you find me the hole in this lineup,
there
you
isn't.
Know? No. From 1-9, there's nobody you want to face on a daily basis, or, you know, on an every inning basis where you can take a deep breath and say, you know what, let's just go get, and I don't even, never even heard of the guy who was closing for the Orioles last night, Cole Sulcer. Like, I mean, he comes out and he's got to be like, all right, who do I got? And then you look at what this lineup provides, and that's why, as much as it's a joke, it's not. When I say they could win 48, 49, 50 games, I think they're that good. And, you know, if Giancarlo Stanton is going to be swatting baseballs all over the yard, and Aaron Judge, who can bounce back from three straight strikeouts on a night and then hit a monster shot like he did, and Voit can do what he does, I mean, good luck getting in the way of the Yankees this year. And they're an angry bunch on top of it, and they're playing with a purpose this year. And I know, I get it, the Orioles are bad, and they just abuse the Orioles, and they always win it, like literally always win it, Camden Yards. But last night was one of those nights where you could have said, you know what, all right, fine, the streak's over. They gave up the 5-0 lead. They fall behind 6-5, long rain delay, hour and a half, whatever. Nah, so be it. Uh-uh, not this team. There is no quitting this team, and you just have to be impressed by what you see from the Yankees right now. And then they'll play tonight. You get Jordan Montgomery out there, and here we go. Baseball season's alive and well. Mets are a mess, and the Yankees are winning.
Right, so it's we're back to normal. Couple things that happened yesterday in baseball. One of those things was that the Players Association and Major League Baseball came to an agreement on doubleheaders that were only going to last 7 innings. It's going to be a weird thing. Again, it's pandemic related. It's a short season related. It's a COVID-19 outbreak related. It's what they're trying to do to basically have teams be able to catch up if they have to shut them down. I'm not crazy about it, but again, I'll go back to April and I'll say whatever they come up with, I'm not going to sit here and kill and criticize simply because they have to get the games in. They got to try to, you know, let these players play as little in terms of doubleheaders as they possibly can. There's just not enough players to go around. I did like Aaron Judge, you know, yesterday say, look, the rain delays aren't ideal. You know, the players are kind of congregating under the stands and stuff like that. And it's really, you talk about social distancing and rain delays and all that other stuff, not great. It's just not great in these clubhouses and everything else. So I don't know. I don't know if they decide, you know, after an hour rain delay, they're going to call the game or whatever. But they have to come up with something because they don't want the players to stay together a lot, and they don't want the players to be spending a lot of time at the ballpark. So if that's the case, and you have extended rain delays, especially 2 to 3 hour rain delays,
sure,
you got to modify that, I think, too, just to keep the thing moving and to keep people as socially distanced as you possibly can. So I'm not going to kill it. I know as a baseball purist, look, I don't like the DH in the NL. I don't like 7-inning games. You know, I don't like any of that stuff. But, you know, this whole thing is abnormal, and you have to adjust on the fly. Improvise and adjust, as I say. And they are improvising and adjusting to try to keep everybody as safe as possible and to get in as many games as possible.
You know what? It's a unique year. That's exactly it. And it's a race against time with the calendar. And you got teams like the Phillies and the Marlins not playing. You're going to have a lot of games to make up. And so I get the 7-inning doubleheaders. It's fine. The more I think about it, the more it makes sense. But it also goes to show and tells me something we talked about yesterday, too. And that's trying to keep these guys safe and COVID-free and doing things. And I know the ship is gone. I get it. But the whole notion of playing games in select cities and creating the bubble would have made sense even from that standpoint. Because if you think about where they were talking about, and again, we're talking about a bubble and keeping them away from the general public. If it was Texas with the new ballpark with the roof, Arizona with the roof, and Florida with the roof, you wouldn't have rain delays, and you would get the games in as long as you kept everybody safe. But that's not the way they went. Instead, you'll go with the 7-inning rain delays. And the Yankees, better than anybody, are aware of how to deal with these rain delays now because they had one in Washington, too. So it's kind of like, what do you do? They're figuring it out. It's not ideal, but it's just one of many things that they have to get through.
The Yankees are like the nomad team, man. You just put us on a bus and just show us where we need to go, and we're going to go, and we'll win. So now they come home. And they'll play the Red Sox now at Yankee Stadium, so that's good for them. They're finally getting back here, and hopefully they'll continue what they're doing. You know, the other thing in baseball, obviously, is the extra inning rule, the runner on second base, and all that other stuff. So
yeah,
there have been some major changes. And remember, I think in terms of bubble situation, you know, they're playing 60 regular season games. That's a lot, and you're asking a lot of these players to spend that amount of time.
But why is it any different than the hockey guys and the basketball guys?
Well, the hockey guys would end up playing a maximum. Two teams could play a maximum of 33 games if they had to play every single game required to move on. So,
but in time wise, it would still be a couple months.
But still, it's 60 games. Think about 60 games. You know, I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, but they're playing them anyway, though.
You know, actually, you could actually, according to Governor Cuomo, you could play them all in New York too, if you
could
want.
Could play them all in New York.
Right.
Yes, you could. Exactly, in Schenectady.
I guess, whatever.
Well, all right, the Blue Jays will be in Buffalo. I don't know where Schenectady is. I've just heard of it. I don't know. I get what you're saying. It's a lot of games. To me, it's 2 months, though. And for the playoff teams, it would have been another month. So it is a lot of time. But you would have avoided a lot of these issues. And the Phillies aren't playing all weekend now because we found out a couple, I guess it was one coach and one clubhouse assistant, has tested positive. The good news is no players have. So there, I guess they were playing Toronto this weekend, I believe. So there's another batch of games. Think about what the Phillies and the Marlins are going to have to make up. Again, which is why the 7-inning doubleheaders make sense. I mean, you're talking about a whole week of a 60-game season. There were only, I think, what, 6 or 7 scheduled off days as it was.
Yeah.
Well, they're losing almost a full week now. I guess it is a full week. It will be.
You know what doesn't make any sense to me? I don't know. Maybe it should make sense to me, is the Phillies situation. Okay, you had a couple guys test positive. And you were going to go on the road anyway. So I'm just wondering if they're worried about false negatives or they're waiting to give everybody yet another test because somebody could have it, but they're just not showing it yet and they can't test for it yet.
Well, that the incubation period, right? I think exactly what you just said. They wanted to give it a few more days just to make sure that it hadn't shown up just yet, which is why they canceled the weekend series.
So that means there could be somebody that's walking around with the COVID-19 that has been tested and has been negative.
Yes.
And then 2 days later, let's say that person has sat in quarantine for 2 days. 2 days later, that person could come back and test positive for COVID-19.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's like the I don't know if you saw the story about the punter. I think he's a punter or the kicker on the Browns who got the virus in early July, I believe it was. Had, you know, mild symptoms, got tested, had symptoms for a day or two, then felt great day three. And I want to say it was after he did his 2 week quarantine, felt 100%, feels 100%, tested negative, if I read the story right, on July 27th. And then went in on the 29th and tested positive. Okay. I mean, I don't know. There's something still in his body, clearly. But he felt like he did the full 14-day quarantine. Felt 100% after about a day to 2 days of feeling a little tired and fatigued. And has not had any symptoms. And after testing negative, then tested positive again.
So did he...
Confusing.
I'm trying to think. Did he take... So he tested positive for the virus, not the antibodies.
He tested positive for the antibodies. I'm sorry. I'm going to get you right here.
So that's James Gillian. He's
yes.
the punter for
so
the
So he
Browns.
Tested positive for the antibodies on July 28th, weeks after he originally tested positive for COVID-19. And then on Wednesday, July 29th, somehow tested positive for the virus again. And it's a month. It was about a month, he said, since he initially tested positive. Strange.
It's
goes against everything
strange.
We're hearing, right?
And it creates an enormous problem.
Sure does.
For football, obviously. Yep. And it's something that I'm sure doctors have got to be, doctors and, you know, epidemiologists and virologists and all sorts of kind of ologists are looking at this, trying to figure out exactly what the hell this kid's going through. Because if he's going through it, how many other people would be going through something similar like this where he comes back and tests positive, but is he contagious? I'm assuming he is.
Great question. I guess. And then it begs the question again, can you get it twice? Or three times?
Right.
We don't know. We don't know. Which and then it leads you back to the whole bubble scenario. If this goes off without a hitch with the NBA and the NHL, and up to now it has, for the most part, you're going to look at football and baseball if they don't get through it. If they have trouble, and I don't know that they will or they won't, because the other 29 teams are doing fine, aside from what the Marlins brought in. So maybe everything will be okay. It begs the question, did you screw it up? We'll find out in a few weeks.
Well, how about the soccer teams in Europe? How about the baseball teams in Korea and Japan? You know, I haven't seen major interruptions in their play at all. As a matter of fact, the Koreans are allowing 10 to 12% fans back into the stands.
Yeah, and I believe the Korean government issued a warning yesterday because they could tell by watching the games that the fans were only 3 to 4 feet apart. And so if you're, I have the game on now, this morning's game on, that's got Aaron Altherr on. Remember him back in the day with the Mets and the Phillies? You can see they are completely spaced out today, better than they were a couple of days ago. But I think I'll check during the break. We're going to take a break. I'll check. I believe the Korean Baseball League, didn't they have a one-week pause because someone tested positive and they got it out of their system and they've had no problem since? So I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. I really have no idea. I just know if things like this are going to happen to a kid like this, what are we dealing with going forward? And those are the questions that need to be answered that no one has the answer for.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.